Do you like to help others? Do you like to be a part of efforts that will better the life of those that are less fortunate? That's what we're called to do as Christians, is to keep an eye out for the poor and take care of the orphan and the mm-hmm. widow mm-hmm. and be there for them when they need us, and partner together with ministries to do that. There's a lot of great organizations that are doing a lot of good, but there's a danger in doing too much.
Peter Greer is joining us this morning. He's president and CEO of Hope International. It's a global nonprofit that focuses on addressing physical and spiritual poverty through microfinance. He has a master's degree in public policy from Harvard's Kennedy School and is a frequent speaker at Catalyst and Passion, and has been on a lot of the different news channels that you probably watch and different magazine articles that you've read. His book is called The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good. We want to find out more. Good morning, Peter. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I think the title of your book might take some people aback, thinking, well, what can there be any danger in doing good? We're called to do good. Why did you settle on this title?
Yeah, you know, Galatians 6:9 says, never tire of doing good. But I think there are a lot of people that have been really moved by the gospel, have wanted to go, have wanted to serve, have wanted to give sacrificially. But after doing that for a number of years, you notice that so many people that started out with such great intentions, with such a desire to serve, you look in the rearview mirror and you see marriages that are falling apart. You see sometimes incredible mistakes. And it's almost like when we read Scripture, we find that 2 out of 3 of the biblical leaders that we read about had these explosions in their personal life. And my guess is that it's about the same today, that probably 2 out of 3 people that are really doing great work end up having some significant challenges that are really heightened and exacerbated, even in the process of doing good. And so the book is really designed to help diagnose, why does that happen? Why is it that 2 out of 3 don't finish well? And what can we do to make sure more of us live well and live faithfully?
Well, and I appreciate the fact that you wrote this book out of your own experience instead of just saying, you people are doing this wrong, but you kind of caught yourself in this place. You want to tell us when that realization hit you?
Yeah, so there are 2 moments. The first moment was when I was in a refugee camp handing out blankets to individuals that had just lost everything when Mount Nyiragongo erupted in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I was there as a 24, 25-year-old aid worker doing great work, serving God. And I remember that as I was on this platform giving away blankets, that my thought as a friend was taking pictures was not about the individual that was right in front of me, but I was preoccupied by thinking, I can't wait until my friends back at home see these pictures. And there was a realization that I was play acting. I was performing. My heart was not right. I was not doing this out of love for the people that were right in front of me. I was not doing it for my faith that is so important. I was doing it for the praise that I might get from people that were far away. And so that was one moment. Fast forward a couple more years, I had been working with Hope International, growing this organization. We were actually founded. First staff, first office was in Minnesota, and growing this organization. And my wife pulled me aside one night after the kids were in bed and said, Peter, I feel like you are choosing the ministry over me, and I feel nothing for you. And I that comment caught me by surprise. I love my wife, I love my kids, but I realized that I really was so focused on building the ministry that I had forgotten that part of my ministry is loving those people that God has given me closest to love, my wife and kids. And so those are just 2 moments that I recognize, man, there are these pitfalls that come with doing good. There's the pitfall of performance and play acting. There's the pitfall of giving your family leftovers. And those are just 2 of many areas that I think can trap and really tangle up those of us that are doing and trying to serve God and do good.
Peter, yeah, you read about that in chapter 3. The headline of that chapter is When Ministry Becomes Your Mistress. And how can people just guard, I guess, against that are involved in ministry?
Yeah, my hope was that that in some small way, maybe my experience, maybe some of these stories could prevent others from having to learn these lessons on their own, because there are some painful lessons that are included for myself and from others. And so in this case, I think there are specific guardrails that help, and just a couple of those that have changed our marriage. The first one is really to recognize that if we're just so consumed by all that we're doing and we forget about the importance of who we're becoming, that we're on the wrong track. So we cannot neglect our own faith, our own fuel, our own health in the pursuit of doing good. Second thing is that I think we've got to set limits. For me, one of the key limits that has brought life back to my marriage is setting a limit on travel. Because we work in 17 countries around the world, and because of the opportunities to connect with churches, there are more good opportunities than any one person could say yes to. So I have set a limit of how many nights I'm away from family, and that has brought a wonderful degree of health. As crazy it sounds, I actually ask my wife regularly how I'm doing. So we oftentimes think about monitoring and evaluation on the programs and in the ministries, but I recognized I had never asked my wife, hey, how am I doing as a husband? How am I doing showing that apart from Christ, I have no higher love than my love for you? And so that's helped. And then just the last one, I gave my wife my resignation letter that she is free to mail at any time if she feels that I am not fulfilling my calling of being a husband and a dad. And so those are just a few of the practical things that I found that really have brought health back to myself and allow me to get back on a track of really hopefully being in for the long run.
We're talking with Peter Greer. He's the president and CEO of Hope International, and he, along with Anna Haggard, have written this book called The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good. Peter, is there ever a time, and I'm thinking of, just a variety of Christian leaders, where the calling that they feel that they have been called to do this ministry, this service, this job, that calling gets confused with the balance that you're talking about that you found? And how do you help people with that?
Yeah, there have been several studies that have been done, and it's been done primarily focused on pastors, but I think the lesson is applicable to anyone that's involved in doing good. But it looked at people's expectations of pastors, and I remember reading one individual that calculated all of the expectations that someone has for a pastor of a small, mid-sized church, and they found that individual would be expected to work 114 hours per week. And you're not going to be able to meet everyone's expectations. And yet sometimes, because we believe passionately in the work that we do, and because maybe there's this element of wanting to be people pleasers, wanting people to like us, that we want to fulfill everyone's expectations. But that is a recipe for burnout and disillusionment with the calling, with the ministry, and possibly even with our faith. And so I think that workaholism is seen as a problem in certain circles. But workaholism, when it's wrapped in a ministry veneer, is actually celebrated. And so part of my hope is that we can recognize that burning out does not honor anyone. And we've got to figure out how to live differently, how to still be so passionate about our calling, but to figure out a way in which we're able to not just fizzle for a couple years. We really want to be in for the long haul.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of Jethro. I never forgot this. When I was reading through the story of Jethro going to Moses, and Moses was burning out. He was just exhausted. And he's like, what you're doing is not good.
Time out.
He's like, look at all these people around you that could help you. I think it was, again, that thing of there's so much to do, and you take that on yourself, but maybe others can come along with you and finding that balance. I appreciate that so much. Peter Greer, our guest this morning on Faith Radio Mornings. We'll be back in just a few moments as we dig some more into the spiritual danger of doing good.
I'm gonna chase you, Lord. I'm gonna...
Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. Mariah Peters here. We do want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, but not to the point of where we are doing too much good for our own good, if that makes sense. We're talking about the spiritual danger of doing good, the name of the book by Peter Greer. He's president and CEO of Hope International.
Peter, are there some ways, I mean, you're talking about the guardrails that really worked well for you and in your marriage and that sort of thing, too. Are there ways that we can really take that internal look at what we're doing and really get down to the heart of why we're serving? We talked earlier, we've had Brian Fickert on our show before, talking about when helping hurts. And so that's kind of on the external part, how you can actually hurt those you're serving. But how do we look internally and then find out if we're causing some damage?
Yeah, well, that's great that you've had Brian on the show.
Yeah.
Brian is a good friend, and he actually, as you saw, wrote the foreword for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And very much, it really was designed to be a compliment. His book, When Helping Hurts, is just a tremendous, tremendous book. And as you said, that does look at the impact that sometimes our good intentions have on adversely impacting those that we're trying to serve. But this book was really targeted on the giver, not on the recipient, but on the giver. How do we make sure that we do rediscover this heart, this foundation for our service? And I think the reality is that oftentimes it's impossible for us to see how we look, to hear how we sound. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but if you ever listen to yourself, how you sound on the phone, even right now, I if I were to listen to this, I would sound different as I listen back to it than it does in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are certain times where it's impossible for us to actually see how we are. And I think this is a beautiful part, that we were not meant to live this life alone. You know, I had a friend that I was having some meetings with, and ended up, this was for Hope, and was meeting with a number of different supporters on the West Coast, and ended up going to my hotel room after a day full of meetings, looked in the mirror, and saw that I had this big piece of spinach in my teeth. And I remember being just shocked, because that was something that I couldn't see until I looked in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody told you. No, that was it. I was like, come on, people, you're my friends.
Bad.
Why didn't you tell me?
Bad friends, it's a rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it was really interesting that in a similar way, that's kind of not a huge deal when it's a piece of spinach. It's a huge deal when there are issues that could possibly bring disrepute to ourself. And so I think the ability to have friendships at a time before you need it is absolutely critical. Friends who love you enough to look you in the eye and to say, you've got spinach in your teeth, to look you in the eye and say, what you just said sure sounded like you were taking credit for the work that God is doing. Mm-hmm. Friends who love you enough to say, man, you are neglecting your kids as you are so excited about the ministry, you're forgetting those people that God has also given you to love. People that are willing to you know, not be impressed by anything that you've done, not believe that just because you're doing good, you've got it all figured out, and willingness to tell you the areas that you need to change.
Well, and you have a friend that you called the Panera prophet, because he just was pretty brutally honest with you and kind of filleting you open a little bit, huh?
Yeah, no, Greg Lafferty, a good friend, and so incredibly thankful for him. Yeah, he is one of those people that certainly has the right at any time to tell me what I need to hear, and I know that he cares enough about me that he will tell me what I need to hear. And so, yeah, I sure hope everyone has that ability to have someone that they've invited into their life to bring the prophetic critique and to help them see things that they can't see on their own.
Peter Greer is joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings today, president and CEO of Hope International. His book is The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good, and Anna Hager has also written on this. Anna provides some of the social media aspect to Hope International. I know she does a lot with that, as I see. Talk about how that kind of plays into this whole idea as well, social media.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing in the world in which we live right now is that when Jesus wrote about making sure that when we give, don't announce it with trumpets, right? I mean, we don't have trumpets today. That isn't a meaningful metaphor. But I wonder if social media is the equivalent of our modern-day trumpets, that it's possible to do good and then to make sure that every time we do good, we Instagram it, we Facebook it, we tweet it, and to announce our good deeds so that people can see what we're doing and we can be the recipient of individuals' praise. And so there's just this simple litmus test for me is when is the last time that we did something good and didn't feel the need to put it on social media? When was the last time we truly did something to help someone else and did it just because of love of Christ and love of our neighbor? And it's really interesting that the social media world in which we live makes it incredibly easy to become terribly narcissistic in the midst of doing good.
Yeah, that can be tricky. I think sometimes people would counter that by saying, well, I just want people to know the ministry that's happening, and praise God, it's incredible. But it's tricky because you can really easily slip into that self-gratifying, you know, aggrandizement, I guess, putting it out there, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm certainly not saying that there isn't a time to celebrate and
sure.
a time to share, but it really is a question of do we have a healthy distrust of our own hearts and our own motivation, and do we really believe that we have the capacity of getting in the way of Christ getting the glory? And that's I think, the thing that we see throughout Scripture is that our God cares about making sure that we understand that from whom, all good things are due, and that's the Lord. And we are simply the instruments of his grace.
Mm-hmm. That's Peter Greer talking with us this morning, and he's written the book, The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good, kind of giving us some cautions this morning. You're talking, Peter, about individual praise and our motivation, and I want to touch on another area in your book that I think a lot of us, I'll have to admit, that we think this way, that if we do good things, God rewards us. We hear it all the time that if you give, then God gives back. So if you give a lot, he gives back more. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this thing where we're kind of pushing God to give us more or something. It gets kind of twisted up a little bit. You call it Christian karma. Kind of define that for us, if you would.
Yeah, I think this is one of the oldest dangers that come in doing good. This idea that if I do all of these good things for God, that God is going to have no choice but to bless us and give us exactly what we want. And there certainly is truth in what we sow is what we reap, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. That there certainly are elements of that is true, but sometimes our interpretation of those principles goes beyond the way that I think that they were intended. And sometimes it's possible for us that again, are doing good when bad things happen to us to not have an underlying theology that allows us to handle these issues. And so for me, part of my job is traveling around the world. I have been in places where your heart just breaks and where you see godly men and women struggling to put food in their children's bellies. And, you know, in Haiti, learning that parents were literally baking dirt with a little bit of flour mixed in to feed their children. And I just don't believe that in those circumstances I've met too many godly individuals in those circumstances to know that this idea of health and wealth gospel, that if we do good for God, that God's going to give us everything in this life that we want. I think the truth is that God is going to give us everything we need. God is going to give us an eternity with him. But the promise that we have is in this life, we're supposed to have trouble. We are going to have trouble, and we sometimes forget that. And especially for people that do good, the idea of Christian karma is because of the good I do, that God has no choice but to give us good as I define good. And then when challenges happen, when my child gets sick, when cancer hits my family, when I'm not given the promotion, it's possible to be so upset with God and feel like God isn't keeping his end of the bargain, when in reality, I think that is a too small definition of what good is and what plans God might have for us. And so I think that is an opportunity for many of us that do good to actually have our faith shattered when the bad things happen and we feel like God isn't keeping his end of the bargain.
Peter Greer, again, is our guest here. The book is The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good, and we have links for it at myfaithradio.com. In the last minute or so here, Peter, maybe just say a word about the people that think, okay, in order to do ministry, I need to go on a mission trip. I need to go and do something through the church. Rather, you make the argument and the point in the book that you can do that every day, even in your workplace.
Yeah, sometimes it seems to me that people that are doing full-time ministry have this elevated view of that calling, and I don't see in Scripture a certain class of people that are called to love God and love our neighbor. I don't see a certain class of people that are called to go and make disciples of all nations. I think that that is every single one of us that has this calling, and so it really was trying to tear down the divide of any sort of a hierarchy of service or full-time professional ministry and realize that this is a calling. There is no hierarchy. It's about what gifts has God given us and how do we use that fully for His glory. And so I just don't see that hierarchy in Scripture, and I think it's a dangerous hierarchy that sometimes is perpetuated by those that are doing good by somehow elevating the sacred vocation as opposed to the secular without realizing that, my goodness, God is at work in every domain, every realm of society.
Mm-hmm. Bloom where you're planted, in other words, I suppose is a good way to put it. Peter, thank you so much for your time today and for the book, The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good. It's a great word, some great reminders and help in here.
I really appreciate being on the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Blessings to you as you continue on as well with Hope International.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.